Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye, episodes 1 and 2. We meet young women going after their K-pop pop star dreams. Who knew my new goal in life is to be level B heels? Let's get into it. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
Oh, hi. Good morning. Here we are. Very early on Friday morning. I'm not going to say I'm tired today. Okay, that's a record. What am I? I don't know. My mind is filled with pop star girls and heels and having star quality. That's what's on my mind. How are you?
I'm good. If you were going to tell me you were tired, I was going to just flip the table.
In the face.
So I went backpacking. I survived that.
Oh my gosh. Where did you go poop?
Luckily, I have the constitution wherein I don't have to do that all the time like some people I know. So yeah, no, I just limited my experience to forest peeing and it was actually really lovely. I'm not probably going to backpack again because I just kind of don't see the appeal of it. But I do see the appeal of going deep into the woods because, you know, like car camping and other kinds of camping, you're always kind of next to another lot. You're pretty close, right? You wake up, you can hear the next campsite.
Right.
At night, you can hear them. There's kids running around. There's cars. When you're out remote in a carless pack-in campsite, there's nobody. And it's very peaceful.
It was very peaceful.
So I did that. Then I came back. And then I ran a school-wide event on Wednesday.
Right. Oh my gosh, this massive event that went swimmingly. So congratulations.
Thank you. I did have a woman come up to me. So we have all these tents with tables that I helped set up. And we had found these old flags in the PTA closet.
Oh.
And it's an international potluck theme. So we're like, oh, it will look so nice to kind of decorate the tents. We don't know where these flags are from. They're just been sitting in the closet. So we like wrap them all around the tents. And a woman comes up to me, has the gall to come up to me after I have planned this whole event for her.
Right. I mean, like, this is not an event where you're getting paid.
There's no fundraising here.
Anything. Yeah. Right. You're bare bones. You're just volunteering your body and your time.
This is a community event to like kind of bring us all together to kick off the year. She's like, my country's flag isn't up here.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I'm sure if you found this in a PTA closet, it was probably from like the 1980s, right? Where like not all, I mean, maybe there were civil wars in certain countries and certain countries weren't even recognized.
My first instinct was be like, bitch.
Yeah.
Did you look at every flag? I need you to walk around and look at every single flag. That was my instinct. But, you know, when you're co-chairing an event, you've got to.
Thank God,
at
you reined
school.
It in.
So, yes, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me call the manufacturers in China and ask them
Did you say that?
No, I didn't.
That would have been even better. You say it with a
big smile.
I did
my passive aggressive. Oh, did you check every tent? And I like did my hand motions. You checked every tent. She's like, no, I just checked these two, but I don't see it here. I was like, well, there's every tent has tents, okay? And I just freaked out on her. So that was my week. So if you were going to tell me you're tired, and the work's been busy, so if you were going to look me in the eye and tell me you're tired.
Well, I've had my own share of things, but I'm not going to complain about being tired today.
You've had your bangs.
Yeah, it's the bangs that are keeping me up all night. I chaperoned a first grade field trip yesterday. It's just so fun being around first grade boys who are just like really kind of coming into their own. And, we've talked about my son not knowing the F word on this podcast several weeks in a row. And he was on a mission to find it out. Your daughter had given him all of the clues. He still hadn't figured it out.
Right.
And yesterday in my car, one of the boys is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. He almost said the F word. And my son goes, I still don't know what the F word is. And then the kid spells it out.
Oh.
And then my son's like, fuck.
Like, no big deal.
No big deal.
So anticlimactic.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, that's all it took.
Isn't that most things in life, though?
Right. Build it up.
Yeah. And then when it comes, you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good to know. And then you move on. You guys went to the farm?
We went to a farm.
Yeah, I did that one last year. So it's so fun. It has a train and has animals.
There was this one lady who, all of the people that are working there are are outfitted in like a Victorian style.
Yeah, like the garb of the pioneers.
Kind of like as you would do a Renaissance type fair, right?
Yeah. So like in a
they're cosplaying kind of a little bit, right? And there was just this one woman who was so crotchety. And I was like, is this part of the character? But she was like barking at the children. She was so upset at them. There was like a corn mill and she was getting angry at them for doing things that, you know, that's what 6 and 7 year olds do. You know, another parent and I were like, what would compel you to do this job?
If you didn't like children. Yeah.
Or interacting with people.
She's super method. You know, she's just right. she's in character all the time.
I'm a oppressed woman from the 1700s.
Yeah, maybe she was a servant in that house. Like, that's her character.
Right.
Or she's like the governess who's, you know, just had it up to here with all the kids.
Well, the funniest part is the woman who introduced herself before her was docent or something. She's like, you know, I'm blah, blah, blah. My pronouns are she and her. And then the woman sitting down, who's the crotchety woman, goes, my name's Jessica. Like, no other introduction. I was like, what are your pronouns? No, you're not going to give that to us?
We didn't have pronouns in the 1800s. We were dying of dysentery. Yeah, the reenactment people, it's a whole game that I don't
get. You, it makes you really wonder what is the motivation to do something like that. Or even like be a pop star. Things that, mm-hmm. you know, you really put yourself in these extreme situations and you kind of wonder, why do people do these things?
And what's driving you?
Yeah.
A lot of these questions are brought up in Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye, especially because the women we meet are very young. They are still in their very formative years where, you know, do you even know who you are and what you want? And have you been told since you were the age of two to four who've been on television, like, this is actually your dream and not somebody else's dream.
Yeah. And I think this is going to be interesting to watch from our lens as moms of girls. And you know, arguably also I have a son. So for both genders, but especially for young girls, I mean, you have to get your parents' approval to go on a show like this. And you're away from your family for so long. You're missing out, I imagine, on some education. And as a parent, I'm curious what would motivate you to allow that. I mean, I'm sure if your kid is super passionate and you really see star potential, that's one thing. But some of these girls don't have that.
No, you know? They just have a dream.
Yeah, right.
And hooked onto the moon. Right.
And, you know, I had joked previously about my daughter, who is very, very cute. And I had joked that maybe I need to get her to learn Korean so she can become a K-pop star. Because, you know, it looks glamorous, but then you watch this and I'm like, oh God, I can't imagine. She's three. I can't imagine now telling her, you need to go to dance academy right now. I'm going to teach you how to do these things to groom you to be this person.
Yeah.
That's like you living vicariously through your child.
Yeah. You know, we've only watched episodes 1 and 2. I don't even think we've seen the worst of it. Like, this is child's play, I think, to what's coming up in the later episodes. So let's set the stage. The show is called Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix documentary series. The show is premised on two huge record labels, HYBE from South Korea and Geffen from the US, coming together trying to create the next global girl group. And they're taking the Korean pop method of training and development, and they're applying it to girls from all over the world. They're bringing them to LA, and they're using talent from both HYBE and Geffen to try to mold these girls into this global girl group. Yeah. And it feels like they're using the K-pop method, but they're not necessarily going to be K-pop stars.
Yeah, right. They're not going to be K-pop stars. I think they've recognized that the K-pop training method has been quite successful.
Yeah.
But the K-pop method is much more intensive. I mean, we're talking almost decades, right? I think I read that G-Dragon trained for 11 years before he debuted. So he was 8 years old or something when he first was
plucked out of obscurity.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes they audition, but sometimes they just find you in a mall and they're like, you're going to be the person we're going to train. So they have a much shortened timeline here because they're trying to get them to, I mean, it seems artificial, but I don't know why.
They want them to debut in a year.
In a year.
I mean, it feels like there's a lot of money going towards this.
Yeah.
We meet Missy. She's in charge of, I think, the girl overall group. Right. It feels like she's dance specific.
Her background is dance, but I think she takes care of the girls' development
She's also the one doing the cuts. So, you know, yes. She's got the hardest job, I think, on the show. But Missy says it's make or break for this Hybe Geffen project.
For them, the investment that they're making, they're like, because they're pouring so much into it, if these girls don't make it, they could.
This project is done. And they're also like, the risk is you go through so much trouble. And in 1 year, because you haven't had time to work on them enough, they kind of come out looking maybe like robots. Or you don't get the same feel of a cohesive group as you would from K-pop, where they've been together for much longer. So this group from Hybe and Geffen are working together to gather a group of 20 talents to train. And at the end of their training program, they'll be voted on in a contest, like a survival style show. Mm-hmm. And the girls at this point don't know that
they're going to be subjected to a people voting in. It's like
a reality show.
Yeah, back in the day. Didn't we do that for
American Idol?
American Idol. Mm-hmm. Did you ever call in?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But you'd have to watch it live, you know. And then you just like call.
Yeah, and then just the same person you're voting for.
The kids these days don't even know what we're saying.
They don't know they don't know all of the obstacles and difficulties we had to go through.
So that's the setup of the show. There was a similar show that aired, I want to say, a year or two ago. It came from JYP, which is another huge label in Korea. Yes. And the guy, JYP, used to be a pop star. And then he created a show. And I think it only made it onto YouTube. And me and my girls watched the whole thing.
But they were trying to become K-pop
stars, right?
Right.
So he was going around globally finding girls to make a K-pop group. So he's training these girls in Korea to speak Korean. They actually debuted. They're called V-Cha.
Oh.
They have a few singles on Spotify. They're, you know, they're just so K-pop.
Is it V-cha or is it O-cha? Because the V is a Roman numeral for five, and then O-cha meaning like this is your last stop.
Oh.
Because you know how when you go out in Korea, you go 1-cha, which is the first place, 2-cha, 3-cha. That's like number three, spot number four. It's like the night continues. O-cha could
there
be.
There is an O-cha?
That's what I'm saying. It's like this
is. Who's going to five places at a night?
It's going to be 8 a.m. by then.
I think. They called them on the show V-cha, but I mean, that could be.
But how have they been doing?
I mean, that you haven't heard of them.
I haven't, right? That's probably also the rivalry between JYP and Hybe.
Yep.
You know, Hybe's like, oh, we're going to level this up. We're going to bring in the Americans.
That's a good segue into introducing the people in charge of this project. You know, with every pilot of these shows, we just kind of have to meet everybody, and there's a lot of people on this show, and they kind of bounce around a lot between the trainees and the trainers and the management. And they like flash the names really quick. It's really hard for me.
It's so hard. And to be fair, it's hard to distinguish who is who. You know what I mean? I mean, and we're not going to be doing nicknames any longer because we've been canceled for that.
And these roles are hard to nickname because. They're all kind of very similar.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're all very similar. And we don't get enough character development at this point to really know who they are. Also, from what I can understand, and you probably know this having seen Cat's Eye now, many of these girls leave and new girls are coming in that we just don't know about. And so is it worth our time to even delve into every single one? Probably not.
Yeah, because we start with 14 in episode one, and then we end up with 13, and then another 14 time there comes, and they're trying to get to 20. So there's a lot of girls we just haven't even met yet. So let's talk about episodes one and two. There's two Korean men in charge. They come from Hybe. The first one is Bang Si-hyuk.
That's about right, Bang Si-hyuk.
Everyone calls him Bang. And I asked my husband, I was like, on the podcast, should I call him Bang or Bang? He's like, because it's you should call him Bang. Because it's so wrong.
What do you think about this guy, Bang?
He looks like...
Bang. We'll call him Bang Bang.
Bang Bang. He looks like a jolly neighborhood dad.
Oh, does he?
Glasses. Yeah, okay. What do you think?
I feel like he looks a little creepy to me. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is colored by the fact that he was recently caught in LA with two young ladies. One who is a South Korean live streamer, but she was... maybe she lives in LA or... She was in LA and her sister, and they're both wearing these tiny, tiny little mini skirts, like super skinny, really like
they're a little scantily clad and walking the streets of LA. And this guy, Bang Bang, he's quite large. His tummy is quite large.
Rotund.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, well, he is 52 years old. Okay? And in an article, they were like, he's unmarried. And he was with these ladies. But he's walking down the street. It looks like a cartoon. Because this kind of large, older man with these two skinny, scantily clad ladies just doesn't look right. And apparently Hybe's shares dropped the next day. His reputation really took a hit. And I'm not sure if that's what has colored my view of him. But when I see him, there's just something about him that feels a little creepy. Even the way that he's watching the girls from a laptop.
Yeah. He's like, I don't meet the girls until they debut.
Yeah.
I want to see them like the audience sees them. I mean, honestly, isn't that the oldest story in time? You know, the man who's come from nothing. He's actually the only billionaire in the entertainment industry in South Korea.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Because basically his backstory is he started out with JYP, who we mentioned before.
Oh, did he? I did not know that.
He started at JYP as a composer and a writer, and then he became a producer. And so he kind of was groomed by JYP there. And then he found RM from BTS when RM was 15. And so from there, I'm not going to get all the details right, and BTS people don't come after me, but basically Big Hit was formed.
So he went off on his own after finding RM.
With Big Hit, they produced BTS.
Wow.
And Big Hit was, I think they went IPO a few years ago. I remember it was a big deal. Yeah. And so that was, I think, where a lot of his money came from. And now they've become Hybe, which is more of like an entertainment platform versus just a musical imprint. And then from there, they spun off Adore.
Yeah. And that's the whole drama with NewJeans that's still percolating.
Yes.
Okay. So I was joking about the JYP and Hybe rivalry, but that must be true. JYP must be pissed because he found him while he was still working at JYP.
Yeah. I mean, and they have a very different vibe. Like if you watch JYP on his reality show, he's definitely was a pop star.
Yeah.
You know, and he is an entertainer. This guy definitely feels like he's been in the dark shadows and he's crawled his way up. Bang Bang being a creep is not a shock. It's the oldest story ever written. But it also reminds me of the producer manager guy who produced Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Did you ever see him?
No.
Seen like a documentary about this guy too. And he's also like, you know, rotund.
Yeah.
Like kind of creepy looking. You know, just like a guy who's
Place. Yeah, right? who's been trying so hard to fit in for so long.
Yeah, and now he's the manager of
Backstreet
Boys.
Then he becomes powerful and uses it in for his gain. That reminds me.
That guy's name is Lou Pearlman, and he was actually scamming people.
I remember
people.
That name. Yeah. But then also there was something on HBO about the dark side of kids' TV. Do you remember about? Ugh. Yeah, it was like Nickelodeon. That guy, Dan Schneider, also looked similar, kind of had the same kind of like dark look about him, but was very successful at finding talent. So.
And it seems like Bang Bang's MO too is he can spot star quality.
Maybe what it is too is like
they're watchers.
They've probably been, you know, like dorky kids and
on the side
who have always been very conscious and aware of their surroundings and like mimicking certain people behaviors because they know like that's what makes you cool and that is what has made them successful as, you know, entertainment people who know how to spot
star
talent
catchers. Yeah, that's the sordid past of Bang Bang.
I mean, let's acknowledge he's great at what he does.
Yes. And he's here as the de facto Korean leader of this project.
Yes.
The next Korean man in charge is...
He's the executive creator. His name is Hon Sung-duk, but they call him Sun.
He came up as the performance director for BTS.
Yeah. So also, you know, he has such credibility.
My husband was saying that BTS, when they were coming up, when they were very young, they were just about their dance moves. So I think they owe that to this Sun.
And I am curious if you think that Korean dancing, especially recently, is better than what you see in like girl or boy groups in America.
Oh, 100%. There's no competition.
They're so disciplined. The in sync part is really hard to find in American groups, especially with the dancing.
Yeah. Even one of these trainers was like, by the end of this program, I'm going to tell you where to put your fingernails. You know, they're like that exact to the centimeter of where you need to put everything. It reminds me of those little kids on TikTok right now from China. They're bouncing those basketballs. They're like dribbling in kindergarten. And they're just like in sync like crazy because I'm pretty sure they just dribbled basketballs.
All day. That's all they do. Yeah. And my son goes to basketball and there was one Chinese kid there. And he was doing that. Double dribble. And I was like, oh my God. Who is this kid? He's been shipped from China to
take over
the league.
The little basketball league here.
Anyway, I thought Son was great because he was so direct. Mm-hmm. His feedback was, I wouldn't even say harsh. I thought he was very critical, but in a really meaningful way. Whereas I noticed some of the American people, their criticism would be harsh, but they would always try to sandwich it. With, they positive. Yeah. They were like, oh, well, you know, I know you're trying really hard, but that sucked, you know? Whereas Son, he just says it in a way that doesn't feel personal.
That's so funny. And I think that because literally I wrote, the man does not mince words. I wrote, there's nothing as soul sucking as the disappointment of a Korean man. And I live with that. And my girls live with that daily.
You know what? I live with that in my head every day. That's my dad talking to me in my head.
So I think you grew up with that in your head. I didn't. And so I'm like, I live with this Korean dad disappointment tone now. And I feel sorry for me and my daughters. And you're like, it's great. That's the way it should be. That's helpful feedback.
Well, another funny side note is whenever I go to therapy and then I'll be like, oh, you know, like I talk to myself this way. Uh-huh. And my therapist's like, whose voice is that in your head?
Ooh, interesting. Like, whose is it?
My dad.
Oh, interesting.
My dad was a military dad, so he is a very cool, kind person, but he also expects a lot. And so in my head, it's always like, you better get up, you lazy ass. What's wrong with you? You know? And my therapist is like, oh my God, where is that coming from? I'm like, what? That's not how all dads talk.
The voice in my head is, look, I know you're tired, but it would really be great if you could wake up right now.
See, look at that. You got the
couch it. You got a couch.
Yeah, the sandwich.
So we've got Korean dad in Son for these girls. He comes at the end of each month for a month-end evaluation to judge the group. So on the day-to-day, we meet a lot of the instructors and trainers that these trainees work with. Missy, we've mentioned, she's kind of running the whole thing. She's a very serious person.
Yeah, but does she also feel like she's on the edge of a breakdown?
She looks like...
She's so nervous.
She takes the evaluation critique of the girls harder than the girls. She's like crying to them at the recap. I mean, this girl has been dancing since she was a child.
Yeah.
It sounds like this has been her life. And in fact, we meet Nikki.
Who is a dance instructor.
And she is more on the Korean style. I don't feel like she couches.
Oh, she does not. No. She, I think, is harsher than Son.
Yes, for sure. She's the harshest out of all of them. Missy says, you need a backbone to deal with Nikki.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a sister who's been dealing
with
Nikki.
Turns out it's her sister.
I gasped.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, that was the most dramatic moment in the whole two episodes.
I know. What a twist. They're sisters. I want to see more of Nikki and Missy together.
Yeah, I need to know their dynamic because Missy is actually the older one, which also was surprising to me.
Right. But she is the boss of this group.
She is the boss. But because she seems so nervous, I'm like, what would happen if Nikki were to give her critique?
I know. But, you know, you do see Missy does seem nervous, but she does. And there's a meeting with all the execs at the end of, I think, episode 2. And they're talking about maybe cutting one of the girls who's a very hard worker and has a lot of star quality. And Missy stands up for her and really does save her.
I really loved that scene.
Yeah. So that's Missy and Nikki. We also have Sohei. He is also a dance instructor. It sounds like he's worked with the top mega stars.
Yeah.
Britney, Madonna. Like he's...
Usher, I think.
Yeah. He seems like a very prominent choreographer, instructor. And then there's Jay. We don't see much of Jay yet.
Yeah. There are a lot of people.
There's also a lot of voice instructors that we haven't quite gotten to
the voice part, so we haven't met them. But they did bring out this guy, Humberto Leon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the heck? He's the fashion designer for opening ceremony. another
opening ceremony is done now, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
But
so he's looking for a job.
I guess so.
He's on the job market.
He's a creative director. And I was like, okay, that's a great transition that you made here. But they have a lot of star power.
And so they are dumping a lot of money into
exactly.
this.
Exactly. I mean, in order for them to have Bang Bang on here, they must be paying him. And that's got to cost a lot of money, too.
I mean, Bang Bang is deeply invested in the success right. of this girl group. And these documentaries can really bring these girls to the attention globally of people like you and me. I don't think we would ever have heard about these girls except for the show. Actually, my husband and I, we were talking about like these executive meetings that they're having on the show with all the creatives, and they're like judging these girls, and they put their photos up on the wall. We were like, there's a show called Hard Knocks. It's another documentary type show where they cover football.
Football.
Right. Yeah. And we watched that together. And it feels very much like the scouts coming together and makes for great documentary TV because the behind the scenes, everyone's thirsting for behind the scenes. Like, how did this get
well,
made?
What are the decisions? Well, and it humanizes everything, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, these are human lives. These are people who have personalities. They have backstories. And we get to see all of that. And makes it much more meaningful when you watch them perform or play sports or whatever, that you're like, oh, I know all this stuff about them. And it, you know, is also connection to how we should look at people in our lives, our relationships.
You always bring it back there.
It back.
And I always bring it away. I was going to say about Hard Knocks, I actually like football less because of Hard Knocks.
Oh.
Because I see how brutal it is. Like they don't, there's no like contracts for these lesser known players. They get cut if they have an injury, like they're cut ruthlessly.
Yeah, there's no guarantee in football.
100% not.
Makes it really difficult.
And what they have to do to kind of even stay on the team. I worry that I'm going to feel that after this show. Like how brutal it is to get to this girl group.
Well, I think what's interesting too is that there have been grumblings about how intense the Korean pop training is, but we've never really got to see the side of it.
They've been very secretive, actually.
Oh, they're so secretive. Yeah. I mean, and it's to the point where they control so much of these trainees' lives that they're not really allowed. They probably have NDAs. You're not allowed to go and talk about it. But there was a girl on TikTok who said she went to go audition, and maybe she didn't sign the NDA or she's about to get sued. But she's telling all the secrets, and she said that they took her to the doctor. And she didn't know what was going on, but after the fact found out they injected fat dissolving shots into her thighs. And I was like, where can I get that? Where can I get that? But anyways, but she was, you know, she's like, I was 18 years old. Of course, you know, an adult, but she's like, nobody explained anything. They're forcing it. They don't allow you to eat certain things. You can only eat certain foods that don't cause you to gain weight or bloat. It sounds terrible.
But again, you're like, what are these secrets?
Exactly.
Write them
Where's
down.
What was the diet plan? I need it.
Email me immediately. There is something to how young they are. They're all about 17, 18. I don't think anybody is in the 20s. No. Everybody's under 20. So yeah, like how much agency do you have? Can you say no? There isn't very much room for pushback, but I feel like that's just the industry. I don't think it's a Korean thing. I think it's just the industry. So that's kind of the creative executive side of things that we've met so far. We also meet a woman named Michelle. She is the casting director for HYBE.
She looks like somebody we would know.
100%.
Right? Like a Korean girl from, I don't know, Arcadia or Fullerton.
Yeah, she's like very cool. She's got a nose ring.
Yes.
I have a sweater very similar to the one she wears on the show. So it just feels like she's like one of our friends.
Totally.
But she has a very important job. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting how we think casting might be so easy, but like she's scouring the globe. She must be on TikTok and Instagram all day long looking for talent. And the way she talks about Manon, she sees something in Manon that the rest of us maybe were like, oh yeah, she's great. Like she's convicted
about Manon. Yeah.
And that's her like training in her
eye. So Manon is this girl. Group has already been formed. There's 14 girls. And so then Michelle is like scouring the internet. She finds this girl in Switzerland. And I was like, they invested so much in this girl, right? So Michelle is convinced. They send her a trainer.
Yeah, she's practicing dance in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And they ship her over with really little skill. They're like, she's the lowest skill of everybody.
So I was wondering, do you think it's just pretty privilege? Because Manon is so beautiful.
Oh my, she's gorgeous. But, you know, there's gorgeous, but she really lights up the screen. Like when she comes on the screen, you're like, oh, wow. Because all these other girls are very pretty.
Yeah.
But she comes on the screen and you're like, oh, dang.
Yeah, there is definitely I mean, I guess the, what they're calling star quality, there's this like shine in her that you can't fake, you can't try, you can't, you know, buy. And so maybe that's what Michelle sees.
I actually wrote down this question. What would you rather have? Dance skill, singing skill, or star quality?
Star quality.
Same.
Because all of the other things you can learn.
And be taught.
Yes.
And these guys are, that's what these guys are saying. Yeah. He's like, oh, your pitch is wrong. No problem. You sing off key. I can teach you that. You can't dance in heels. You'll be dancing in heels. But you can't teach star quality.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you another question. Would you rather have smarts or would you rather have beauty?
Ooh.
Or maybe rather than beauty, would you rather have smarts or star quality?
Well, look, if you look at Bang Bang, he's a billionaire.
Yes.
He does must have smarts, not star quality.
Yes.
You look at any member of BTS, nobody's a billionaire. Those guys are all star quality. And so not that money is what measures you, but at the end of the day, Bang Bang is at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And we love our BTS boys, but they are not, you know? And so, and they've got all the star quality in the world. So, I mean, Bang Bang doesn't have an army, I guess. But yeah.
He has an army of two scantily clad women.
Yes. So I'd go smarts all day. How about you?
I would also go smarts because beauty fades.
Yeah. You know, the both of us are sitting here just like kind of staring into space, kind of, really but, thinking this one.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I do think beauty gets you quite far.
Right.
You know, and I...
And are we saying smarts and ugly?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what we one or the other. We're saying, like, smarts and regular looking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, regular. Passable. Nobody's disgusted by you.
Okay, so it's so many girls. It's hard to keep track. I wrote it down this way. There's the top dancers. It's Emily... Daniela, who is of Latin origin. She's been dancing forever.
Since she was two.
Yeah, she's got really curly, tight curls. Also very pretty. She doesn't seem to work as hard as the rest of them. It definitely seems like they're always telling her she needs to practice more. There's Adela.
She's the one from Slovakia.
Slovakia. She's got big lips.
Yes, that's exactly what I wrote down.
And then there's Megan. She's a Hapa girl.
From Hawaii.
Her mom is Chinese and is here with her in Burbank because she must be underage.
Yes.
It sounded like when she was growing up, she was so into dance that she would fly from Hawaii to LA every weekend.
On Fridays.
And then fly back on Sundays.
Again, I mean, as a parent, you have to be willing to do that.
Yeah. Emily is clearly the top dancer.
Even I could tell.
Yes.
Watching Emily, I was like, oh, she just like every movement is really tight. She felt controlled. The others were a little bit floppy.
Yeah. That last evaluation that we see in episode 2 where, I mean, they just spotlight her. It's her solo. You know, they say a lot of like, you don't know what you're doing with your face. She knows exactly what she's doing with her face. Her face is just giving.
Yes.
Just professional face. And so, yeah, you could definitely see her star shine. There's the top vocalists. It's Ilya, who is the refugee from Spain. Sophia, an Asian girl who seems to be kind of like a more of a leader of the group. She's definitely, you kind of see her like kind of taking charge in some of the group situations. And then there's Carly, who looks half Korean.
She said her mom is Korean, yeah. But she's from Hawaii.
Top star quality is Lexi. She's what, Swedish? She looks like a Swedish nymph.
Yes, she does.
Like dark hair, pale skin, very sweet. Marquise?
Marquise, yes.
She doesn't really show up. She's very pretty, but she doesn't show up.
Yeah, they don't highlight her in these first two episodes.
Abby. Abby's the girl from Colorado. She has zero training.
She's blonde. She seems very young.
But they keep saying about her, it factor.
And when we saw... Manon, I got the it factor. With Abby, I didn't quite get it.
Me neither. And then you hear her sing and you're like, oof, this is rough.
Well, I was watching this entire show on 1.5 speed because I was like trying to cram it in. And I was like, is it because of that? So I turned it off because her singing sounded so terrible. It turned off the 1.5 speed and I was like, oh no, she's bad. She's not good.
Yeah. I think they recognize that her skill level is so low. There's no way they're going to get her there in a year.
So they let her go.
They do cut her. I cried in that scene.
My gosh.
You know why? Because she was so mature about it. Like, Missy lets her go. And then I think another vocal instructor talks to her outside in the parking lot. And she's just like, this is one of the best experiences of my life. Yeah. I totally get it. You know, thank you so much. Like, she was just a grateful kid. And I don't know. She had a great attitude. Yeah. And I was sad to see her go. And then, yeah, so those were the top star quality people. The underdogs, Brooklyn, Azrella, Naisha. We do see a lot of Naisha. They seem to be pushing
What
Naisha.
Does it mean, though, when they're saying underdogs? Are they saying, like, they don't really have much going for them? You know, because usually an underdog is someone that has talent that's not being recognized.
I think they have potential and talent, but they don't have skill. So those are the girls we're focusing on. Would you rather start as a top performer or would you rather start as an underdog?
Underdog. 1,000%. I
only
just think,
way to go is up.
Yeah, exactly. I think the bar is too high if you start at the top. I think if you have the attitude and the willingness to continue and the drive, I think you can go from an underdog all the way to the top. But I do think that that drive has to be inherent. If you don't have the drive, you don't have the drive. Like, nobody can force that on you.
They were saying about dance level B girls, mm-hmm. which is the second highest tier. Nobody's
at A.
Yeah, nobody even knows what A is. Missy, I think, is saying that top tier, they are all top tier for a reason. And then they drive each other to be better. And she doesn't see it
in the C and the D.
Right. Yeah, so we get a lot of evaluations. Who knew dancing in heels was such a big deal?
I mean, but you got to admit, that is a skill.
Truly. It's such a huge skill. They don't let the unskilled dance in heels. Like, you got to work
to
it.
The forbidden fruit.
Like, are you a level D heels, yeah. level C heels, or level B heels? My new goal in life is level B heels.
Being able to wear, yeah, heels while dancing. My daughter went over to a friend's and borrowed her little, like, princess heels. And she came back and she's like, I have a blister. She's 3, you know?
My calves are.
There's your first lesson in life.
Yeah.
I said, don't wear heels. And she goes, why?
I know. Let's watch these BTS guys put some heels on
exactly.
and dance.
Mm-hmm. They're, back in the day, I used to live in a city where they would host a 5K where the men would wear heels. And it was for domestic violence. It was like to raise money for domestic violence, but also for men to realize how difficult it would be to walk/run in heels. And it was so great.
So that's kind of it. Like, we get... It's a little frantic, right? There's a lot
frantic,
to cover.
Not a lot of storyline and not yet a lot of drama. No. And I think typically we like to watch these reality shows for a little bit more character development. The biggest dramatic point was Emily fractured her foot.
That's right.
And that's how they ended it. Yes. It was like, that was anticlimactic.
I know. But I mean, this girl's out for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, she's on top right now, but that's 6 weeks for her to be like, she's not in front of these judges.
Yes.
She's not getting the visibility she needs. And she her last eval was amazing to the point where San is like, I have no words.
Yeah. And San, who usually, you know, talks like my dad in my head, was like, that was the kindest thing he could say.
And he moves her to level A. And it's this big mystery what level A is. And sadly, we probably won't see level A for a while. But this is 6 weeks for the other girls to improve to take her spot. Because Bang Bang says there's always got to be one very dominant dancer. And she clearly had that spot. But like the Daniellas, and they're coming up for her. What do you think about the show so far?
It was entertaining. I don't think they did a great job at hooking me in the first two episodes. You know, I wish there was a bit more story arc. But as a documentary, I thought it was fascinating. I think it's really interesting to see the behind the scenes. On a scale of... you know, 0 to 10, I would say I'm about a 6.5.
Yeah. Also, as a K-Watch party show, we're straying further and further from
from our original objective.
Right. But, you know, to be fair, I thought it would be more K-pop. I thought they were creating a K-pop group.
Yeah, that's what I think threw me off. I realized they were utilizing the K-pop formula, but not doing a K-pop group. And so they're not learning Korean.
No.
You know, there's no Korean culture infused in it. But nevertheless, I thought it was interesting enough. Yeah. What about you?
Same. I think the direction of it is a little all over the place. And you're getting pulled in so many directions that you kind of can't sink into one thing, right? Like, focusing on dance I thought was really good, but then you're just on the dance. We don't know much about these girls at all.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had a critique, I would have preferred that they started this documentary after they chose the six girls and then showed us what it takes to, you know, train them up and get them out into the world. I think that would have been kind of interesting, but.
But yes, entertaining. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And there's only 8 episodes. We only have 14 out of 20 girls. I'm not sure how they're cramming in 6 more girls in a few episodes, but we'll get there. Do you have any favorites?
I like Megan.
Same.
I think also because she seems quite humble, mm-hmm. but works really hard.
Yeah. She's very sweet with her mom.
Yes. Although I love that when she was like, yeah, I have a great relationship with my mom. And then the mom's like, we have a hot and cold relationship.
I really liked Emily too.
Yes. Also, I think she just has, there's like a purity about her. She's obviously the best.
Yes.
But she doesn't come across like I'm better than anyone here. And so I really like that attitude.
It's interesting that both of us are like, effort counts.
I know.
You know, and making you likable. And it's not just about being a pretty face.
But that's how I feel about life. And, you know, even with my kids, somebody was telling me like, oh, you know, you should tell your kids they're like beautiful and smart. That's how you like raise their confidence. And I was like, no. I tell them, hey, I love that you worked so hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever say, especially to my daughter, I'm not like, you're so pretty. A lot of people that I know who were told that growing up are just empty-headed.
You know? Shits.
Yeah. You know, I don't ever want her to feel like that is the one quality that people care about.
Yeah. And she's going to get that from everyone else. Exactly. Honestly.
For me, I'm like, you're okay. You didn't do bad.
Brush your hair. No, that's shocking to me because I've definitely read a lot about how you really shouldn't say the words to a kid you're really good at.
Yes.
Or you're very smart.
Yes. Never say you're smart.
Mm-mm. Because it fosters in kids a fear, they say, of looking not smart.
Yeah. And all they're doing is trying to impress you to ensure that they're still smart so that
they're
they don't try
smart.
Hard.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is they're staying within the confines of what they know they can do.
Yeah. So they don't push themselves and go outside of their comfort zones. So instead, you're supposed to say, I see how hard you try.
Yep.
And you're getting better. And we could always get better at things if we just keep trying, right?
And you know what's fascinating? I've been saying that to my kid since he was really young. And now whenever he talks about himself, he's like, man, you know, I work so hard. That's like, you know, so it's also crazy to see the kind of fruits mm-hmm. of the seeds that I've sown.
Yep. We're doing a great job.
I know. I mean, we're just great parents.
We're raising very civilized people. You're welcome, world. Okay, so that was Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye, episodes 1 and 2. And as we mentioned last week,
it's our 52nd episode.
1 year. Ba-ba-ba-bow. Any reflections? You love to reflect. I will have 0 reflections. I hate to reflect.
I think it's so cool that we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone can say they stuck it out for a year and did something so out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, and did it 52 times.
52 times. But when I'm doing it, when we're sitting mm-hmm. here, it's so enjoyable.
Yes.
I think the other parts are a little bit, you know, less enjoyable. Even the watching sometimes, you know, we kind of have to force ourselves, you know, to do it. And we have to pay attention. And then after the fact, we do a lot of editing and all of that stuff takes work. But you take a step back and you're like, wow, we did something that we have never done before.
Yes. We have busy lives and this... Yeah. Is that my girlfriend in the neighborhood, one of the ones you've stolen as a friend, she goes, you know, you don't need to do this. Like, you're the last person who needs another thing.
Right.
And I was like, you're right. But it is very fun and it's been very fulfilling. So I do actually think I need this. Because otherwise it's just usual humdrum, right? Like, nothing else
Also,
special.
It's fun because anytime I talk to somebody, they'll bring it up. There are people who listen and they always have something to say about what we talked about. So I think that's kind of interesting.
It really has saved us from a lot of catch-ups with our friends.
Right.
They just know all about our lives.
Yeah. I don't need to hear your voice again. You know, we'll see what the future looks like. But for now, it's been fun. Thanks for being on this ride with us.
Yeah. For now, we have Cat's Eye. You got us for another at least three episodes.
So, our husbands are wanting us to cut it off, but we just trudge on.
When do we ever listen to our husbands anyway about anything? Okay. That was Cat's Eye episodes 1 and 2. We've got 3 and 4 coming up next week. Thanks for watching with us and thanks for listening. Until next week, be well and we'll talk to you then.
Bye.